It is now all up to the Senate, which has until midnight tomorrow to pass a $1 trillion spending measure aimed at averting a government shutdown. But as you'd expect in any $1 trillion bill, there is a lot in there, including a provision weakening Wall Street reform, allowing banks to more easily trade in risky derivatives that drew the ire of liberals like House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
So here we are in the House being blackmailed to vote for an appropriations bill. I'm not asking anybody to vote one way or another. I'm just telling you why I would not put the name of my constituents in my district next to a bill that does, as the president says, weaken a critical component of financial system reform aimed at reducing taxpayer risk.
Of course, the House did pass that, and it's now up to the Senate. Rick Klein is political director for ABC News. He's with us from Washington. Hi, Rick.
Good to be with you.
And I want to go through some other things in this bill, because there is a lot in there. And besides changes to Wall Street reform, let's start with a big change to campaign finance rules.
Massive change, and not something a lot of people are clued into, but the change would allow wealthy donors to give effectively 10 times as much as they are currently to national parties. This is making up a gap that has been made evident by the fact that now taxpayers will not be funding political conventions in the future. Both parties actually want it, but no one wanted to really own it or talk about it. So that has been tucked pretty neatly into this bill.
Also in there is a setback for voter-approved legalized recreational marijuana use in the District of Columbia. Tell us about that.
This backed by Republicans, despite Republicans being in favor largely of local control, they felt like because there's a federal oversight of the District of Columbia, they wanted to roll this back. One particular congressman from Maryland feeling adamantly that despite the fact that the voters of D.C. voted 70-30 about a month ago to legalize marijuana, and other states have done the same, that the federal government will be preventing the district from spending any money to enact it. So it will effectively handcuff the district from going forward on this.
There are also budget cuts in here for the IRS and the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency.
That's right. This is where politics starts, and this is how Republicans scored some points. Basically, there's been so much controversy over EPA regulations, also IRS oversight. Remember that scandal of about a year ago with Tea Party groups that were being targeted. So Republicans felt like they needed to score a pound of flesh in this area to be able to say to their constituents, look what we did, because they are facing a lot of heat for not defunding the president on immigration, for not trying to use this as a vehicle to defund Obamacare. So they did some other things around the edges.
So what did they do, for example, with the EPA?
Well, the EPA, they cut about, I think it was $100 million in funding. It will defund some of the particular programs. Not as much, though, in the specific regulations as you might think. I think that's going to be followed up in January, February by the Republican Congress. They're talking about that as a major priority to specifically roll back some EPA actions.
Another one that is a big surprise is that there is no money for President Obama's Race to the Top education program that's been going on for years now. And I thought it was actually pretty popular on both sides of the political aisle, but the New America Foundation says this spells the end of that program.
This was a signature education initiative to try to incentivize local school districts to have higher standards, to have standardized tests. This is, though, a measure of how far things have come on education policy. This, plus the Common Core system that the federal government has been administering, they are so unpopular now among conservatives. People feel like it's a federal takeover of the education program. It'll definitely play out on the 2016 campaign trail. So before we even get there, the Republicans scoring a victory in zeroing that out.
Another thing here on the list, and this is something that actually got more money, is funding for dealing with Ebola and ISIS.
That's right. The administration has been asking for additional funds for both efforts. This doesn't actually give everything that they need or they want, but we know that we've been coping with the increased threat from ISIS. We also know about the Ebola scare that we had big federal outlays associated with that. So when you hear, as you just heard Steny Hoyer and others talking about the good that this bill does, this is what Democrats are referring to, the additional funding to combat ISIS, the additional funding to combat Ebola.
What happens to the Affordable Care Act in this spending bill?
Not very much. There's some less funding for the so-called IPAB, the Independent Advisory Board, that is famously labeled as a death panel, I think wrongly labeled as a death panel, but less funding for that. But that's only around the edges. This is not a frontal assault on Obamacare, and that's one reason that the president is willing to sign this. This buys him some budget peace. It means that at least through the next 9 months of next year, that he won't have to worry about fighting the same old battle that he's been doing for 4 years now.
I imagine there's going to be a frown at the Naval Observatory because that's where the vice president lives. And in this bill is no increase in pay for Joe Biden, a pay freeze. What is that about?
So this is about the vice president of the United States, as well as the top level senior administration officials. This is 2 years running now where Republicans have done this. It's a bit of a tweak at President Obama. They can't touch a lot of other salaries of cabinet officials and the like because those are set in other statutes and also the Constitution. So they've tried to take on where they can to make an example out of the executive branch. And unfortunately for Vice President Biden, it starts right there at number two.
Well, so there we've gone through a lot of things that are in this bill, but one of the big ones is that the Department of Homeland Security is only going to be funded through February, while the rest of the government will be funded for many months more than that. This is all about President Obama's executive action on immigration.
100%. The only way that Republicans could be convinced not to deal with immigration as part of this package was to be guaranteed by the Speaker of the House that they'll deal with it early next year. Well, setting this deadline, knowing that funding will run out in February for the Department of Homeland Security, which includes immigration enforcement, means that Congress has to address this again, and they can threaten funding mechanisms if other things fail. So that'll be part of the package of plays that Republicans use to try to roll back that immigration action.
So, Rick, with all of this stuff in this bill that so many don't like, why did they all pass it?
It's really the only way that compromise can happen. And maybe we haven't seen it for a while, so we forget how ugly it can be. But this was the middle coming together. We saw the strangest of coalitions last night. Nancy Pelosi joining with Elizabeth Warren and Tea Party Republicans in trying to argue against something that President Obama and Speaker Boehner wanted. So all those coalitions meant that there was enough in there for everyone to hate and maybe just enough for people to like.
Rick Klein, political director with ABC News, as we wait to see what happens in the Senate with this $1 trillion spending measure. Rick, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you.